Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Shalom. Hello. Welcome. Welcome to Abracadabra. I'm Ilan Azulay. I'm your host. What happens in you when you laugh? When you squeeze your belly muscles? Blood. Do you feel the gushing of all that you've held back just bursting out with tears? Tears that embrace all that you were, are, and yet to be. All that in you and out of you. Omitting sounds that trembles your outer and inner limits, sending your essence flying through all of your fears. All of your doubts of becoming, all your dreams in love, and here you are. You are here, standing, soaring, cruising, landing, knowing that with you, if it wasn't for you, you weren't you. Hareini mekabel al atzmi et mitzvat aseh shel ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. I hereby accept on myself the due commandment, the utterance of love your friend, your neighbor, your gardener, your partner, in the same way that you express love to yourself. And the focus is first on yourself. Hello, welcome. I'm Ilan Azulay. I'm your host. I'm a spiritual mentor and a sound therapist for you who are ready to reclaim your power. And talking about our power, our gifts, our talents, what we have to offer to the world. And I'm sitting here with wonderful world entertainer, a singer, Rosalind Kind. Hello.
Hello, Ilan.
Thank you very much for coming.
My pleasure. I always spirituality. I'll talk to you in a minute.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now we're talking. But, you know, we can also enjoy the what we have here. You know, it's how we look at it, right? So Rosalind Kind is a world entertainer. She started at age, you had your first single when you were what?
17.
17, right out of high school, right? Mm-hmm. And you grew up in New York?
Grew up in New York, was born in Brooklyn.
You were born in Brooklyn, and you've played in London, you've played in Israel,
yes.
you've sang in France, in London.
In Germany. In Bavaria.
Oh my, Google.
In Hungary.
In Hungary. Wow. Yeah. And I heard in one of your interviews that you're saying, well, you know, there is that and there are the genes.
Right.
And I just started talking this weekend, this Friday on the Friday video about what is success for us? What does success means? You know, and everybody, you know, some people walk around and they look at some other people's life and they say, you know, why do they have that and they have this and they have that? And my take on it is that everybody has their own journey. Everybody has their own journey.
Their own path. For whatever lessons they need to learn.
Wonderful.
That's what's brought to them.
Yeah. So everybody experiences, I feel like everybody experiences all these feelings, love, anger, all these places.
Sadness.
But just in different stories.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So with you, born with the gene of singing, I mean, it's like you open your mouth.
It's a God-given gift. Every day of my life, I say, God granted me this talent, but it came through the genes of my maternal grandfather, my mother.
Yeah.
My grandfather was a cantor in Russia. He never followed through once they came to America. But my mother always wanted to sing. She never did. But gorgeous. As a matter of fact, when we were in L.A., at the Hollywood Bowl, we played a little of our mother's singing. She had a glorious voice, very operatic.
Yeah, I mean,
very different.
You have resemblance to that.
Me, operatic.
Well, I mean, the timbre of the voice.
Oh, but I'm a much lower register than everybody. We come down the piano, my mother, then my sister, and then me. And now my nephew is singing as well, and with the gorgeous
Jason.
Pipes. Yes.
Jason Wood,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
He has something else. Yeah. But it's just like you open your mouth and you're singing. It's like...
it's musical, right? It's like we pick up languages easily because of the ear.
Yeah.
And everybody used to tell me when you talk, I bet you could sing the phone book.
That's probably true.
Like, whatever. But I do believe that life brings us the lessons, and that I firmly believe that we were aware in the other dimension of knowing what parents we picked.
Exactly.
Because that's where we're going to meet those challenges.
That's wonderful. Yes, exactly. We choose where we're coming. We choose our path. We choose the experiences.
Yes.
You know, in the name of God, which is the four letters of God, Yud, and then Hey, and then Vavan, and Hey, there is the combination of changing the letters, which was Haya, Hove, Nihiye, was, is, and will be.
Uh-huh.
You know, so there is the understanding that what will be already happened. Right?
That's, which is where we come to meditation, when we talk about that, and where you're supposed to accept it's already happened. That's still a lesson I'm learning. It's very hard for me because I was, I'm Jewish.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm Jewish, and we question, and sometimes, you want the answers, but they're not always what you want to hear, and you have a working element on a path that you get confronted with things you sometimes never expected in a million years.
That's true.
You have to hone it in and say, this is what it's supposed to be. Right? I say, Razi, why can't you get this concept? And I'm always, I backstep. We all backstep. We're not God. We're constantly learning daily basis.
That's right. And we are learning as we go. So, it may appear that we are repeating some kind of an action, and we say, but we've done that, but we have a different understanding. So we're on a different level.
Right. And sometimes if we don't learn that lesson,
we go again. Learning from experiences, that's so true. It's like staying a class, like no girl. You're staying the 12th grade again.
Repeating it.
And I feel that in my experience, like God told me, okay, you feel that you've graduated from the experience, the cost is the experience.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you want to graduate from understanding and having this understanding and knowledge and experience.
Mm-hmm.
The cost is that.
Is the experience. You have to learn. And it might be good, bad, or indifferent, but we have to come to terms with it and handle it in hopefully a positive way.
Yeah.
And that can be the biggest challenge.
Yeah, because, like in relationships, when things end, right? That's what I'm saying. It's like the cost was the experience.
Right.
And many times we learn after.
Right.
After that experience.
Exactly. While you're in it, you can't see it.
You see, so here's the yes, that's true. But as we are evolving,
we evolve, we become more understanding of what we went through and why we went through it, and why somebody didn't react the way we would have hoped they would have, because everybody is different, everybody has their own insecurities and their own positives, and we all interact with each other, and sometimes it just isn't perfect. But it doesn't mean that it wasn't good for you at that moment in time.
Everything is an opportunity.
Right, yeah.
Yes, yes. You know, those times where there is the flow and you feel that everything is flowing and you meet that person for whatever reason, business, personal, whatever, but everything flows and you think about something and that is happening and that person is calling. This is what I call the kissing points of our synchronicities.
Ah, kissing points.
Kissing points is nice, right?
I like that. It's a nice way of putting it, yeah.
Because we are... And then we may continue, or we may evolve. Out.
Right. Hopefully, we evolved for the better. Hopefully, that would be my understanding, that we're here. I think God put us here to learn and to earn our way back to the light that we originally came from.
Amen. Yes. Wonderful. Oh, that's so wonderful. And so, give me you was the first.
My first album on RCA Records. Yeah.
June 68. I was born June 68. That was a good year.
God, am I that much older than you? I'm tired. I used to be the youngest in my class. Now I'm the oldest everywhere I go.
Listen, I'm looking at the same thing when people are calling me sir, you know. Right. It's like,
oh, that's that when you first get called ma'am. Oh, is that a realization?
That's right.
Thank you, ma'am. What would you like, ma'am? Madam.
So here's the, yesterday I had a question that I said, you know what, I want to ask you now. For those of you who don't know, your older sister is Barbara Streisand,
mm-hmm.
right? And
yes.
And so you started singing, and I'm going to title this, it's a question, I'm going to title this, but you started singing at a very young age, when just the album came out.
I was singing at home when I was a kid. I used to create scenarios for myself. I used to sing with all the, I was big, the Motown, but basically even the British Invasion. So I had all those records with my transistor radio in my ear.
Wow.
That's what we used to do,
the little box.
Yeah, the little box. And then 4 o'clock was Dandy Dan Daniels and the top 100. And you just lived for that. And every week you went to the record store to buy a new record, whether it's a single or an album.
Wow.
I was into that whole, the British. And I loved, it was, in those days, it was like a pop. It wasn't hard rock. Mm. That came later than, past my early years.
Yeah.
But I loved music, and I got into listening to theater music because my sister had gone into theater. And she also used to listen to certain people like Lena Horne or whatever. So I picked that up as well.
I see.
I mean, one of my biggest fan of Shirley Bassey.
I love
her drama. I love how she gets into those lyrics. And but I had a raising of both kinds of music. And I used to create scenarios from television stories, put myself in them. Mm. And do make-believe add a character to, like, one of my favorite shows was Fury when I was a kid. It was about a horse.
Okay.
And the little boy that owned him and his guardian, Jim, and then the cook, Pete. And I wrote myself into the script and pretended to play that. I was Jim's wife. This is when I was a kid. or when Exodus, because I love biblical movies. All my life, my favorite movies, I could see them over and over again. So
There is something that doesn't
something
die
about
there,
it,
right?
And just about the history. And when I saw Exodus, and I remember so vividly, and I got the album. I had to have the album, and I would create ballets to all the changes in the music and everything. I loved it. I loved when the hand was up with the rifle.
So you would see the film.
Yeah.
You would see the film, and you would just choreograph yourself.
Yeah. Exactly. Or if it was a Broadway show, I sang all the characters with the album. I acted it out, and I sang all the characters.
So at that time, when you were, because you're two different fathers, so at that time, were you close together with Barbara since you were born?
Yeah, we were living in the same household
same
and everything.
Okay.
Yes. And my sister used to comb my hair. She used to take pictures of my profile when I was a kid. She'd sit me on the toilet seat and do my hair. And then I have pictures where I was out in front of our building by a tree in the dress that I was wearing for our brother's wedding because I was a flower girl. So, with my profile, she loved my nose. And I used to go to the Chinese restaurant when she used to work there and sometimes give out the lollipops to the kids when their parents paid the check.
Yeah.
And then we would have a nice meal afterwards. I did a lot of things with my sister in the early years.
So coming into music was, let's say, a natural, there wasn't even an objection. On the contrary, there was a support from the entire family because the family is...
The family had the musical, but
roots.
it wasn't something that they pushed. Nothing that they pushed. It was the person, my sister was excited and stuff for herself or what she wanted. And I made it easy, just a little easier for me because she had already done it when I was, she was on her way when I wanted to do it.
Was it like
Because I thought I was going to be a math teacher.
That's right.
I was going to be a math teacher.
And even though
I loved to sing as a kid and do all these things that I did, and I was in the choir in the temple and I was in my chorus, my chorus in school. I still, now I'm losing my thought. Oh my God.
Chorus in school.
Yeah. What was the question that we're getting? I'm veering off here.
No, there was a support from your family.
Oh, right.
There was
okay.
a support from your
there
family.
There was a support in the fact that we had this talent, but if we didn't push ourselves, it they was nothing.
Push you.
No, my mother was the farthest thing from a stage
really?
Mother ever in existence.
Usually parents that don't get to let's say do their gift or yeah. actualize it, they want to push the kids
yeah.
like to see through them, but your mother
my mother was into safety. She had a very hard life. She lost her first husband when my sister was only 15 months old and they didn't have a lot, and you know, it was like keeping food on the table, and they used to live with my grandparents for a while and everything, and it was she did not have it easy, my mother, and she was, you know, she's supported herself and put herself through college. When I was a kid, she went to college at night and worked in the daytime so that she could get a position with the school system, which she was so believed in wholeheartedly, because you got paid vacations and you had the school year and, you know, you had your the times off and you could be there for your kids or whatever. But she believed in that so much that she wanted us to do the same thing.
I see. And you guys didn't talk about that. Like, did you ever talk to your mom about why she didn't become a singer?
No. But we used to fight for the place in front of the mirror. Teens.
That was the comfort zone. That was for her the comfort zone.
Right. She would sing in the back seat of the car as long as you weren't looking at her. Mom was shy, very shy.
I see. And out of her come out these two singers on their own with their own voice and out from her. I mean, do you think that she's? I mean, how is she with that?
Well, she was. We lost.
She was.
Mom.
I mean,
yeah.
How is she?
She was great, but she was very proud and so proud of my sister, but very nervous. We'd go to the theater when I was still little, and my sister's performing, and my mother couldn't sit in the front seat. She had to get up and go stand in the back because she was just nervous for her, you know, but she was very proud of her, very proud of her.
So now when you start singing and you start growing up and you start singing, you know, in school, right? You were singing in school, right? And were they always referring to you as Barbara's sister, or did because it took you a while to find your own voice?
No, you know what? It was funny. When you go to school, first of all, in yeshiva, nobody knew that. And then when I went to grade school, it wasn't until I was in the fifth or sixth grade that my sister did a show, and I took a day off from school because I was home late from going to the show. And the teacher said, "Rosalind has something very exciting to tell us all, or whatever, you know, to share it." But that was the first time. And then in my second school, which was seventh and eighth grade, my sister went to that school also, so we had the same principal, we had some of the same teachers, so they kind of knew, but they didn't make a thing out of it, you know. They didn't really make a thing out of it.
So you go out, you start singing, you have your first album out. You're getting your first album out, and as you're going through that, how are you leading? Are you leading with, "This is me, this is Rosalind, and I'm my voice," or was it more of like big sister and I'm?
No, you know what? I was totally against doing anything on my sister's coattails. Never looked for that. Never wanted to do that. It was me. It was something I wanted, and I had to lose weight for. I went through a lot of stuff to get to have a label and to, you know, and to audition. And I used to do records for her publishing company, Demonstration Records, to get practice recording.
Okay.
You know, that would be a songwriter that was signed to her company, wrote a song. I would go into the studio, record it. They would send it to other people to see if they wanted to do the song. So that was like for me to, I was breaking in doing that.
Yeah.
But it was never, you know, I was always so proud of my sister, and I never thought, you know, I wasn't looking to be her or anything. I just loved to sing.
Yeah, she's very supportive as well, right? She's very, I mean, you played with her after, but you had a show that you played with her. It was the Europe tour.
Europe, and we did the United States and Canada, and then we went to Europe and Israel.
Yeah, and Israel, we'll get to the Israel thing. and I want to talk also about your new album and your new singles and what you're releasing and what you've released. And so there was no any... like there was always support from her to you.
You know, my sister had her own career going.
There was no any...
I don't, you know, siblings are siblings. You have your good times, your bad times, your in-between times. You know, you sometimes have them with your parents to your own degree or whatever. But I went my own route. I went my own, you know, I wanted to do it that way.
Yeah.
And it was very hard because in the beginning, let's face it, she was already on her way to being a legend.
Yes.
And I was just coming on the scene. And I had people like, prove it, kid. You know, you had a lot of that going on.
That's right. You know, there are some singers that I know also from Israel that are sons of or daughters of, and it can take them so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are a sign of, but you have to have that. And and you definitely have, my darling.
Oh, thank you.
So I want to jump right in. So and then we'll talk about the other single. But first, let me play this one. This is the single Light of Love.
Yes.
Right? And you have Native American beats. I mean, tell me about this a little bit.
It was inspired by my climb up Bell Rock in Sedona in 1987 during the harmonic convergence.
Oh, wow.
I have always, you know, I've always had a spiritual side, and I was always, and I read a lot when I was on the road, that there's something bigger out there, more that we're so unaware of. And I wanted to know about it.
Yeah.
I was, you know, that you could talk. I could be up at 5 a.m. talking this stuff with people. Other stuff was mundane to me.
Yeah, I know.
You know, but I found it so fascinating. And so basically, I went to Bell Rock for the convergence. I had to be there. I had to climb. And it was the most incredible experience with all these different groups of people around with different harmonies, bringing up the sunrise. I climbed at four in the morning. I think it was August 26th or August 26th. And it was the most incredible thing I had ever experienced. Getting down was another thing because being a city girl, I came up, how am I going to get down? But that is what inspired the idea to do Light of Love. And so I'm one of the writers on it with my co-writer, Judy Quay. We did the lyrics and Michael Orlan did the music.
Okay,
the
great.
Director.
So here we go, Light of Love.
Like a mirror into your heart, and it's you and me giving light for all to see. I feel this moment touch a place inside of me. I can understand. Loving you is loving who I am. You're the light of love. Come shine your light through the darkest night. Deep inside of you, waiting there to guide you through. You're the light of
that someone you really are. Well, if you just let go, have you looked inside? You just might be surprised. If you free yourself, you'll know the way. Courage finds you and you're not afraid. You're the light of love. Come shine your light through the darkest night. Deep inside of you, waiting there to guide you through. You're the light of
of love. So, well, thank you for that.
My pleasure.
Yeah, and let me just make sure I stop that. All right. And we're just talking here now at, I don't know if it's a half, it is a halftime. And, you know, we were talking about really spiritual understandings about why things are and how things are in each other's journey and each person's journey, and really understanding that first coming from when we come from a place of love,
right?
When we're talking, like in the beginning of the sentence of the program, and where you're talking, love thy neighbor, right? Mm-hmm. And really, it starts with ourselves.
Yes,
it has to start with ourselves.
You have to learn to love yourself first and learn to forgive yourself,
because. Yeah.
Once again, we're not God.
That's
right. And we're here to learn. We're on a journey. So whatever that it takes to make us a better person, a loving, good person that wants to spread the love and the humanity, those are the lessons that come across our path. And sometimes they're really hard ones.
And they come across, you know, sometimes in a way that we don't approve of, want, because we're unfamiliar with, you know.
Yeah.
And those are the
challenges.
Those are the challenges.
The challenges.
Those are the challenges.
Yes.
And God is in the challenges.
Oh, yes. And I talk to him daily. Sometimes I shake my finger. Why? So, I'm going to question you.
You told me to question you. So here I'm questioning. Yeah. So you just, you know, you just shared that in 84 you had this big this breakthrough.
Yes.
All right?
Share with me. I made a lot of friends who were very much into the New Age and into psychic phenomena. I even discussed it with my rabbi, Rabbi Alan Freeling. And he said, who am I to say? No, of course he was a reformed rabbi. But I really follow reformed Judaism these days because I find that, you know, I can still be good and, you know, in everything, and I still know my values and differentiate. I'm just not a child of the past in the way that a lot of the very religious Jews are. But it doesn't mean I don't honor my Judaism, my faith, and my God, and the spirit that is sent through us all. And you don't have to be Christian to have that spirit. It's
like, that's right.
It's God's essence.
Well, spirit, you know, spirit is in our heart.
Yes.
Yeah, spirit is in the heart. And
so I used to read a lot on the road. I had a lot of free time when I was on the road. My show wasn't at night. It was at night. So I was reading. I was spending every moment in bookstores learning more things about the New Age and psychic phenomena and things that happen.
So what happened intelligence. In was there
and
something
I,
specific?
I met somebody who said they knew somebody who does regression. And I was in a place in my life where I had been married. I was divorced. You know, you don't know why this happens, you know, because you were going to get married for life and everything was going to be wonderful and all this kind of stuff. It just didn't happen that way. And my career was up, down, side to side. You know, it's in a journey.
Yeah.
And I just didn't... I wanted to know why. Like, what it, I felt like I would say to God, what are you trying to tell me? You give me this run like this, and then this happens. I'm getting mixed messages.
It's like
I need
giving,
to know.
Yeah.
I need to know why.
Yeah.
So I went to this person, and I was regressed. And she took me to a partial hypnosis. I could hear everything I was saying.
Yeah.
And
a past life regression.
Yeah, past life regression. And I only went, I didn't even see my birth canal. I only went to one lifetime, one, past the birth, past anything in this lifetime. And it was, I was a man. I was in a turban and white pantaloons and sandals. I lived in a stone hut.
Well, let me see.
I was like, and at this moment in time, I was in a duel with another gentleman over the woman we both loved. And during the duel, she accidentally got killed. How, you know, how sometimes the blade doesn't go to the right. And all these lifetimes, I have been searching for that one love. Now, when I did a word regression having to do with that past life regression, it came out. Oh, my God, I keep hitting this.
That's okay.
World, peace, love, universality, harmony.
World.
I heal.
Yeah.
To heal.
Yeah.
And that was the moment. I'm not even here like to push my own career as a singer. It's like the message.
It's the message.
The love message that needs to get around into everybody's hearts, everybody's minds.
Yeah.
That is so important because we're going through, I don't know, some people think this is the beginning of Armageddon. I don't know if I think that, but I definitely think there's a change coming.
There is a change,
There's an awakening. Remember we heard about the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
There is a thing. I lived in Boston for 14 years. In 2012, the first time on NPR, I start hearing about yoga and meditation in mainstream radio,
right?
And which wasn't. Right. And in Kabbalah, it says that the information will be available at the age of Aquarius. And the age of Aquarius was 2012. That was the third wave.
That was the beginning. And we're still in it. Look at how things are
and the third wave. That's
unraveling
when it started.
And unraveling. It was like...
It was amazing. It was just... And since then, things started.
And according to the Bible, isn't the snake has to go into the pit before we have a millennium of euphoria?
Well, here's the thing. So we were talking about that everything really is really levels of consciousness, right? So when we're talking about a snake and we're talking about ascension is really levels of consciousness that we are that we're going through and that we come from. So there are certain things that will need to be buried, you know, need to be buried and need to be and then integrated because only from the ashes we can rise. You know, we can just, it's not about pushing and oppressing one part of us.
Right.
That's what we grew up with, right?
Right.
And on the contrary, it's the integration. It's the integration of all these places of finding your voice.
Finding who you are, why you are here.
Why we are here. What is, and you know, and we go through all these years and... what I'm realizing, at least for me, is sometimes discovering what is not working.
Exactly.
To reveal the vision.
And sometimes you go through a lot of those.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of trials and tribulations. And you'll see there's such a path that you're just skyrocketing, and then suddenly there's a hole.
That's right.
And you're here. Or there are blockages that you can't quite get past, and you're trying to understand it. But it's our job to come across learning that lesson, how we make it around that obstacle.
Yeah.
And hopefully we don't become bitter. Hopefully we don't become angry, but we find a way that opens our hearts and opens our minds.
Did you find yourself in a place of bitterness or in regards to maybe your work or singing, or like you described it, sometimes things come and go, but was there bitterness? And
no, I was never bitter. I was never bitter, but I would be sad and trying to understand why I don't get it. I have these great reviews. I have this, I have that. Why isn't it moving to the next step? What am I, you know? And I've constantly been learning. Constantly, every day of my life, I'm learning something else, and I'm still learning every day. Even with the business the way it is now, with the technology, I'm so bitter. Anybody out there know social media?
There you go. If you're listening,
I need somebody really good with social media.
Rosalind needs somebody with social media. So if you are there and you're listening, by the way, I should have given you this earlier because I was we were so entangled. I want to give you the phone number if you want to call. It's 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. And on Skype, it's LA Talk Radio, one word. All right. So you were talking also about, no, I want to continue.
So what were we saying now?
Oh, what were we saying?
Mind tricks. We go here, we go there. It goes everywhere.
So you did not experience. We were talking about bitterness. Did you?
Right.
Did you experience bitterness? You said you didn't have bitterness. And I think it helps when you have the right environment.
I just think that you want to be out there, and in all my lessons in the very beginning, I didn't know why I was here. So I was in it for just my career, because I love to sing. I love to touch people, but I didn't even come into total, wrapping around that idea until I had my regression.
Yeah.
Every year that followed, new learning that brought me more and more to realize. And I know that when I work in a club or I work in a venue, I like to look in people's eyes. I like to communicate.
Yeah.
I'm not disconnected. You know, it means I want to touch people's hearts. I want to open them. Mm-hmm. If they're sad, for some reason, God gave me some empathy that I can sell if somebody's in the audience that's not happy. And I'll sing to them, or I'll go out in the audience.
As much as the lights can let you see.
Yeah. But I mean, I think the communication with people's hearts is so important. And they've come up to me and said, I feel like I'm in your living room. I feel like this. It's like, I've never experienced this in my... And I don't even understand it. It's a God-given thing.
That's right. And the communication is really a big part of us. And we make meaning through communication.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We make meaningful choices. So here is you... let's talk about your experience as a woman that comes from a religious family, okay, that forget about, women singing is, to begin with, it's like, it's a no good.
It's no good.
It's no good thing. You don't get a husband if you sing.
Really?
I don't know. I just came up with this now. It's like, one of the enters will say, you don't get a husband if you sing. I don't know. Whatever. but nevertheless, you're a woman in a time where women were looked at in a certain way, right? Now that we're going through the shift and transformation, so we can see that we can see how the position and the appreciation of women, not just by others but by women themselves, is shifting. But at that time, was it easier for you because you were the sister of, or did you still experience any, you know, all kind of things
from being
a woman?
No, I did experience that. And I remember being on a beach in the islands when I was performing, and some people like whispering that that's whoever I was.
Okay.
But they looked at me with such, I knew they weren't saying
they were
anything
judging,
nice.
Yeah.
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 That was hard because I was young.
Yeah.
I was like in my late teens, and I didn't know how to, that kind of really hurt me. Because that's, you know, I'm not here to compete. I'm not here to take, God knows nobody's going to take my sister's place. And who's looking for it? That's her. That's her space. Mm-hmm. This is her destiny. My destiny lies on a different road. People get, you know, and my mother, my mother years ago, she would say, you know, when if either one of us had it hard or whatever, well, you're a woman, you're Jewish, and you, you know, and you have a talent. And it's kind of hard.
So here I'm sitting here and I'm every interview, almost every interview that I heard, there always comes up, Barbara's coming up. Mm. How do you feel like, when I talk to you about, or when I ask you, when people ask you about it, is that deterring? Is that like kind of like, why are you keeping asking about, why you don't ask more about,
I got past that years ago when I first began.
Yeah.
I got a lot more of that than I get now. But every so often now, somebody will say they never knew she had a sister.
Yeah.
You know, or somebody just wrote to me, I just discovered you. My God, where have I been? You know, whatever. Which, you know, I'm glad because they're not saying, you know, accusing me of trying to step on someone, my sister's territory, which is not the dealie.
No, you completely, you know? If you go to your to her website, which is Roslyn Kind, RoslynKind.com, you'll see all the videos and all the, and you'll have links to the interviews, I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have everything there. I mean, it's a wide gamut of, I mean, if I start describing a wide gamut of an artist, you know, multifaceted artist, mm-hmm. is that the right word to say, right?
It's like, yeah, and it's just, you know, I just love doing what I do. I love making people
That's
happy.
The important
thing. I love making, touching people's hearts. I want to see them smile.
Because you're touching your own.
Yeah.
Because you're doing what you love.
That's how I get, that's my payback.
Yeah.
It's nothing else. The payback is, it makes me feel good.
No, but what I'm saying is you start off because
with yourself
because you love what you do and you're totally connected and you bring it out and then you get it back. This is really beautiful. The next, I want to talk about the next song and the next topic. As I told you, my daughter would love you for that. You are also an animal rights activist, and because you care, and it makes sense, you know, because you care. I remember that we were talking a little bit about this. I think last year. And you have the next song, Save the Country, right? Save the Country. And what, tell me about this song.
This song was originally written by Laura Nyro and was originally recorded in the early 70s during the unrest over Vietnam.
Okay.
And the colleges were uprising and you had the Flower Children and all this. And she wrote Save the Country at that time to bring people together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a commentary. I did this in a New Age show that I did in the late 90s. But people weren't ready for it yet. It had a lot of songs that tied into the spiritual aspect of finding your own, loving yourself, loving one with another, and then eventually the world, right? The countries coming together.
Yes.
But people weren't ready for it. And with everything that the country has been going through these last several years, and I was in the studio recording, Light of Love was supposed to be my first one that I was releasing, but I came in and I said to my producer, Stefan Oberhoff, I said, Stefan, I think we need to do this, and I think it has to be the first release, because I can't take pain. I don't want to see people hurting. It's a very hard thing that people can't have totally quality and happiness. Like I said, there was a middle class before. They didn't care that they were incredibly wealthy. They just wanted to know that they were secure.
They were secure, yes.
And they could give their kids more than they themselves. You know, that's how it's supposed to be, the progression. And to see people being violated against or treated horribly, and I can't stand it.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. And animals, even when animals. I see the, you know, the, I can't even watch it anymore. All I know is that people must relish, they must garner, they must become engulfed with love. And
Amen.
how
Amen.
Do we make that happen? I mean, I can do it, I try with my music, but also one-on-one when I meet people.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
It's up to all of us.
That's right, and we have our gifts, you do it in music, you do it with talking, you do it with Wherever you can, wherever you can in your
wherever you can to spread the love,
Amen.
Not the hate, not the violence.
Amen.
But you know what? We all come from the same universal spirit, okay? We all have the same color blood. I don't care what you look like on the outside. I don't care how you pray, as long as it's for the good of all.
Amen.
As long as it's for, with love and for the good of all, what you would want for yourself, you want for
Amen.
Your neighbor.
Amen.
And what would I have been if I didn't grow up in Brooklyn with the Chinese restaurants and the Italian and this? I had culture. All, you know, I could appreciate
the
everyone.
The diversity, yes.
It made me a fuller rounded person.
Mm.
So I don't understand the fear.
Well, you know, but again, everybody has their own journey. You know, everybody is going through their own journey, through their own insecurities, triggers, all these kind of things. And some people realize it at the age of 20, and some people realize it at the age of 50, and some people realize it at the age of 100, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, it goes back to the thing where, you know, judge it lest you not be judged or something. And one group of people has no right to tell the other group of people how to live. If they're happy and at peace with it, and they're not causing you any problems, and they give you a nice hello on the street or whatever, or they
pick,
then you have nothing to worry about. You should do what you need to do for you. You cannot, it's where you're coming from.
Yeah.
You can't push who you are on somebody else, but you can hope that they're coming from a loving place and want to spread that love.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
No.
Yeah, save the country.
Come on, people, come on, children, come on down to the Glory River. Gonna wash you up and wash you down. Gonna lay the devil down. We're gonna lay that devil down. Just came for the people to say, bathed in the blinking sun, saying we shall overcome. I got fury in my soul, fury gonna take me to that glory goal. In my mind I can't study war no more.
People, save the children, save the country, save the country.
Come on, people, come on, children, come on down to the Glory River. Gonna wash you up and wash it down. Gonna lay the devil down. Gonna lay that devil down. Come on, people, sons and mothers, keep that dream of the two young brothers. Gonna take that dream and ride that dove. We can build a dream with love. We can build a dream with love. We can build a dream with love. I tell you, we can build a dream with love. I got fury, something happening here. What it is. Telling me that I got to be well. In my mind, I can't study war. No more.
Save the country, save the country. Save the country, save the people. Save the children, save the mothers. Save the fathers, save the brothers. Save the sisters, save the children. Save the oceans.
cities, save the planet.
Something.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we got.
We went all over the world with music.
We went all over the world with music, and you sang live here in the studio, and that was wonderful.
Thank you.
Wow, and thank you for everything that you bring. And I want to touch last thing before we go. So your website.
My website.
RoslynKind.com. And anything coming up?
Well, I'm back in the studio. I'm finishing up. We have five in the can. I'm finishing up one called, I feel like going blank. This is Sign of the Times. oh my God.
That's okay.
Harvest for the World.
There we go.
It's an Isley Brothers cover. Isley. And it's again about coming together, coming together.
Amen, amen. Coming together. Yeah, you were in 96 or 2000 in Israel. When was it? 2013.
2013.
2013. Yeah. How was the show there?
It was great. They loved it. I mean, we were in Tel Aviv. We did two nights.
Two nights,
and then we went to President, may he rest in peace, Perez's birthday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Now I remember. I wasn't there, but I remember the press about this. Well. Yeah. Thank you, Rosalind, for coming and
my
for
pleasure.
Being
thank
here.
You for inviting me.
Absolutely.
I'll come again. You want to talk more spiritual stuff?
Yes, we have to do this again. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. An example of everybody has their own journey. Everybody has their own starting point, their own family, the choices that we make. Nevertheless, we are all going through the challenges and experiences in our own vicinity,
right,
with our own story. So everybody is going through what they're going through with the difficulty level based on their journey. And when we look at things like that, it's judgments start coming down a little bit. Why does this person like that? But reclaiming your power starts from, we talked about, a word, forgiveness.
Yes.
This is just a word, and we will maybe do it again, and we'll talk about that. Forgiveness, not from the egoic, not because somebody did something, quote unquote, to you, but really forgiveness for what you've done to yourself, where you've been with yourself, what atrocities we made to ourselves,
right.
and
sometimes
then
we're our own worst enemies,
many. you gotta pay.
I got to you.
So, finding this voice in you takes so many no's and takes so many experiences and challenges to find this flame in you. I encourage you, hope that you continue to in this journey and finding your voice and finding everything that you can bring to this world. Rosalind, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And I'm going to end this with, it's a beautiful day. Thank you. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Together, falling in love was made for this weather. The sky is blue for just us two. Gee, how I love you. It's a beautiful day, yeah. What a beautiful day, yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. Nothing I'd rather do than lie in the sun, knowing I'm close to you, holding your hand and hearing you say, gee, how I love you. It's a beautiful day, yeah. hair. What a beautiful day, yeah. It's a beautiful day.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.